of our worship and our relationship to the Lord. The Lord Jesus said that you can't say that you love me unless you love the brothers and sisters first. If you say that you love me whom you cannot see, but you can't love the brothers and sisters whom you can see, then your love for me is not true. That's how the Lord Jesus said to us. So when we come to the house of the Lord, our fellowship and our love for the Lord has another dimension, another level to it. That's why David was rejoicing, said, when someone said to him, let us go to the house of the Lord. Because he's not content just to be able to worship God by himself, on his own. But he's even happier when he's able to worship people like-minded who have the same love for the Lord together. So next time when someone said to you, let us go to the house of the Lord, what would you say?
Yes, I'm happy.
Yes. You say, yes, I want to go to the house of the Lord and worship the Lord together with God's people. Now, when we come to the house of the Lord, what do? We sit quietly in the chair. Is that what we're supposed to do? We sit quietly in the chair, listen to someone with a microphone speaking. Is that what we're supposed to do? No, let's see what the Bible say, okay? Colossians chapter 3. Let me turn to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17. Okay, it says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And in another part of the scripture, Paul also says that when you come to the gathering of God's people, you bring a psalm, you bring a song, you bring a tongue, you bring an interpretation, you bring a word, a prophecy. You do all for the edification of the body of Christ. So when we come together, we can use songs like what Abraham and Judith just did. We can use words of encouragement from the Word of God. We can share a testimony that happened to us during the week. We can give some words of encouragement to some brothers or sisters who are feeling a bit down. We can use the Word of God and prophesying in God's Word. You know, prophesying is actually a gift, not just in foretelling the future, but it's telling forth God's Word. And that is what we're going to do most of the time while we gather together, as to think about God's Word and His love for us. So, it is a new beginning. It is an important day. But we pray that every single Sunday that happens from now on is going to be a special Sunday for each one of us. Because it is a time where we gather together with God's people, worshipping God, listening to His Word, encourage one another to be able to love Him better and follow Him better. Okay? So, I want to get excited, and I want you to be excited by this prospect. Okay? I'll pass the time now to Brother Neil.
times you can't hear Brother Neil speak, then he doesn't like the use of mic, please raise your hand. So, Manying, if you can't hear Brother Neil speak, just let him
know.
Thank you. Very good.
You haven't got one. You've got one of these, have you? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay.
Father, thank you so much
for this privilege of gathering together. And in your precious name, we are a bunch of people who have all sorts of different weaknesses, different understanding, different outlooks to some extent. But Lord, the prayer for this time and our heart's desire is that you should be glorified, and in the simplicity of our gathering together, we would be fed by one another, encouraged by one another, and be able to enter into the sort of fellowship that you have purposed that we should know. So we commit this time to you, Lord, and look to you for your grace, your anointing, and the outworking of your plans. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The thought, you guys are amazing. Swap.
The thought this morning was that I was going to share a little bit about the breaking of bread. And for this purpose, I put together these sheets. What I've done here is gather together a whole lot of scripture. It's only scripture here. And also taken the accounts of the breaking of bread in the Gospels and put them next to each other. So you can kind of see what Matthew said and what he didn't say, but Luke said it, and so on. Now, I only made 30 copies here, so, we might have to share them a little bit, and we can photocopy some more afterwards, maybe. So if you pass them around, then let's see how many we're short of.
Can I take a bunch there? Over the back?
We can't read all this now, but you can take it home and have a look at it. So it opens up like a book. It's stapled, so it opens like a book. And so the thought is to go back to the scripture and to look in the scripture at what the Lord gave us in breaking of bread. How are we going? Got some left over? So can everyone see one? No, not too bad. Some in the back row there. Jonathan? Behind? All right. So what we want to do is take a fresh look at the breaking of bread, because we're all familiar with the breaking of bread, but it's something that is not ordinary. Now, I know some of you will know there have been movies made about, I think it was called, there was a movie called Raiders of the Lost Ark or something like that, that in the world, the idea of the cup that was used in the Last Supper is something that fascinates people. And they think that if we could find the actual cup that Jesus used, it's probably magic. Now, of course, it's not magic. It would be if you did find it, it would be a very ordinary cup. But the way the world looks at it, they think because Jesus drank from this cup, it must be a magic cup. We don't think like that.
But we do know that when we talk about the breaking of bread, we're talking about something that he actually gave us. So it's, excuse me, we have to sort of turn around. It is something that's from him. You know, when you see the bread and the wine, you can sort of ask yourself this question. This is what I do. I say, who put that there? And you might say, oh, one of the brothers put that there. But I say, yeah, one of the brothers put it there. But actually it was Jesus who put it there with his own hands. I mean, he is the one that gave us this remembrance. Now, actually the Lord gave us two things. He gave us baptism and he gave us the breaking of bread. And in the world's religions, there's always ceremonies and rituals, you know, everywhere. And the Jews had ceremonies and rituals that God gave them, that they used to practice year by year. Now, whenever there's some sort of ceremony or something like that, some physical thing that you're doing, there are two mistakes you can make. And the Jews, to some extent, made these mistakes. The first mistake you make is you think that by doing this, I am going to earn favor with God. If I do it, he'll be happy with me. If I don't do it, he'll be cranky with me. Now that idea was never intended by the Lord in all the things that he gave Israel. He never had that thought. He told them to do it. But he said something else which really surprised people. You know, at the same time that the Lord commanded them to perform these different offerings and things, at the same time he did that, he also said that he wasn't interested in those things. Remember David in Psalm 51 said, burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not desired. So why is this? The Lord told them to do it, but at the same time said he wasn't really interested in it. The reason is because when he gave them those things, those things were not something that he wanted done, as if he couldn't do something himself. And it wasn't something that earned them a good place, good standing with God. But it was a testimony. When they made an offering, when they followed those commandments and made those offerings, what they were doing was testifying to the fact that they couldn't save themselves, but that God had something that he was working, that he would bring salvation. So that the first mistake is thinking that by doing this, somehow I earn favor with God. But the second mistake that we make, that people can make, is by thinking that in doing this, it's the physical thing itself, like the bread itself or the wine itself, actually does something to me, like it's magic. And we know in Christendom this mistake has been made in a big way. People think if I actually drink it, then something different's going to happen to me, like as if I'm drinking some magic juice. But that's not it at all. Just as the Old Testament offerings were pointing forward to the one who was coming, so what the Lord Jesus has given us is not the thing itself, but it's what the thing speaks of, what it turns our heart to, that really matters. That's what's important. So let's have a look at the breaking of bread as the Lord gave it. So if we were to start looking on the first page of what you've got, we see now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now on the first day of Unleavened Bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, then came the day of Unleavened Bread, when the Passover must be killed.
and John before the feast of the Passover. So one thing I'll just say to clarify something here. When you think of the Passover, what do you think of? This is a question which needs an answer. A lamb? The meal? The Passover meal? Yeah. Pardon?
Getting out of Egypt,
yeah, that's what it was remembering. So when we think of the Passover, we generally think of that Passover meal as the first thing. But actually, and this sometimes can be a little bit confusing, when they spoke of the Passover, they were not just speaking about that meal, but they were speaking about a 7-day-long celebration or feast, which was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or sometimes the Feast of the Passover. So you notice in John chapter 13, now before the feast of the Passover, this is before that 7-day celebration had begun. And it's also called the Day of Unleavened Bread, or in Mark, the first day. Mark and Matthew, the first day, the first of the 7 days. Okay? So the 7 days were begun with a meal. And so this was a common Jewish practice that on the back of your sheet you've got the very first Passover, but we won't read that. That's in Exodus chapter 12. That talks about the very first Passover. So what was the Passover? The Passover was the time when families gathered together to remember how the Lord had saved them out of Egypt 1500 years before. Families gathered together. Sometimes it was extended families. It might have grandparents there and others. And I think also sometimes if it was a small family, maybe if only 2 people were in one house, maybe they'd go next door and share it with that family next door. There was provision for that. So when they gathered together for this Passover meal, there weren't 500 people there. There was just a family. And everybody knew everybody. It was a very much a family thing. So this is the first thing that we need to remember. The Lord Jesus gave us the breaking of bread and he put it into a context. And the context was a family context. Now for the Jews, that meant mum and dad and the kids and maybe the grandparents and a daughter-in-law and son-in-law and this sort of family. But for us, it means the family of God. It means those whom the Lord has saved, his children. So it was given not to the world at large, but to given to his family. And when we gather together to break bread, it's really wonderful when we can look at one another and say, I know you. And you look at me and say, I know you. We're not strangers to each other. I believe, you believe, and we're doing this together. And that's something wonderful. You know, some people like to think of the breaking of bread as this is between me and God. No, it's not between you and God. It's between you and your brothers and sisters and the Lord. It's something that is shared together. And we see that a little later. It becomes more clear. So the Lord Jesus had his disciples go and prepare. And he wasn't meeting with his mother or his brothers on this occasion. But this time it was very significant. He understood this, others didn't. It was very significant because it was the last time that he would have this meal with them. He would have done it a couple of times before, but this was the last time. And so he only wanted to be with the 12. And he gathered them together. And a man whose name is not given provided his house and everything for the Lord. So, we turn over the page. So the Jewish Passover meal was roast lamb. They were eating a lamb That was the main course. But because they're Jewish or Middle Eastern, they are eating bread with their lamb, just like you have rice. You say, what did you have for dinner? We had chicken, but I bet you had rice with it. You know? So they always had bread with their meal. So in the course of this meal, the main food they were having was lamb. But in the course of this meal, the Lord took the bread from off the table. This bread wasn't symbolic bread. This wasn't a tiny little crumb of bread. This was their dinner. This was real bread. It was unleavened bread because of this particular feast. They were told to have unleavened bread. But it was their food. They were going to eat it. It was their dinner. So he picked up this real food in the course of the meal. Not right at the beginning of the meal, but it was during the meal. As they were eating, it says in Matthew, you see, about two-thirds of the way down, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it. So they were all having their dinner, and he said, as they were eating, he took bread, blessed or gave thanks, and broke it, and said, what did he say? What did he say? What else did he say? What else did he say? Luke, this is my body which is given for you. And in italics there I've put Paul's account in Corinthians. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's think for a minute about the Passover, what they were doing at the Passover. They were eating a lamb, right? It was a lamb dinner. This lamb was the lamb whose blood had been put on the doorposts in that very first Passover. Remember how the blood of the lamb was kept, taken on the 10th day of the month, then on the 14th day of the month the lamb was killed, and the blood of the lamb was collected in a basin, in a dish, and then they got a branch of a tree, hyssop, dipped it in the blood, and splash, splash, splash on the door, front door of their house. That was the lamb. And then when the angel of God went throughout Egypt on that first Passover and killed one person in every house, he didn't go into the Jewish house because he said, when I see the blood on the door, I will pass over you and not go in. So because of the blood of that lamb, they were saved. They were saved by the blood of that lamb. If they didn't put the lamb on the doorpost, then somebody in that house would have died, the oldest would have died. But then they were told on that first Passover, now eat the lamb. That's strange, isn't it? Don't you think that's strange? The lamb was the offering that saved them from judgment. But then he said, eat the lamb. Do you think that's God just saying, I don't want to waste the lamb? Or do you think it's more than that? You'd be safe if you said, I think there's more than that. Yeah, it's very much more than that, isn't it? This lamb that died for them became their food. Now the Lord Jesus picks up the bread from the table, which was what? What's this bread? This is their food. He picks up the bread from the table, very common bread, and said, this is me. This is my body. Now,
the point, you know, when the Lord Jesus says, "This is my body," what does it mean? It means, this is me. I am incarnate. You know what that means? Incarnate means I have become flesh. I, the eternal Son of God, have become a man. I have become a human being with a body. Why? He came to be one of us, to die for us, to give us life. This is my body. This is me. This is my body which is broken for you. It wasn't yet broken, but it was going to be. And then he did that strange thing. He said, "Eat." Don't you think that's strange? Come on, guys. Have a fresh look. If I said, "This is me, eat," wouldn't you think that's strange? You know, for most Christians, truly, they say, "This is my body which is broken for you," and all they want to do is look at it and say, "How terrible that the Lord Jesus should suffer and die for me. What pain, what agony he endured for me." And they look. But the Lord Jesus didn't say, "Look." He said, "Eat." And there's one more thing you've got to always remember here. We read it out in Luke and in Corinthians. He adds these words, "This do in remembrance of me." Now there's a little word there that's really, really important. And the word is do. This do in remembrance of me. We don't remember him by doing this, but we remember him in doing this. As we do this, we remember him. And it, what do what? Eat. Do you see? He said, "Eat. Do this in remembrance of me." Do what? Eat the bread in remembrance of me. You see? So the Lord Jesus said to them, "I have come. I am dying. I will die for you. I will give myself for you. I will be the sacrifice for your sins. I want you to remember me." Now, I should have mentioned one more thing. I said that the context into which the Lord gave us the breaking of bread was the family. But there's another context we also must remember, that he gave this to the people who would not see him anymore. He was leaving. He said, "In the world you're going to have tribulation. In the world you're going to have trouble. And I will not be physically there with you." That's why he gave it. And he wasn't asking people to feel sorry for him. He wasn't asking us to weep for him. He wasn't thinking about himself at all. He was thinking about us and what it would be like for us in a world in which we have trouble and difficulty and where we can't see him anymore. And he's not right there as he was before. In that context, he said, "I'm giving you this. Do this in the world when you can't see me, when you're having trouble amongst your brothers and sisters. Do this in remembrance of me." And do what? Eat. We take the bread and we eat it. Now I know that some of us are in the habit, when we break bread, we take a crumb or half a crumb, a
tiny, tiny little bit, don't we? It would be, I don't know, you know, there are different situations, but what's really good is if you can get a big piece of bread that you have to really eat. You know? You really have to eat it. It's not just a little crumb that dissolves on your tongue, but you actually have to eat food. Is it a bit irky for you? You can't cope? It's all right. Because it's very strange. It's very strange. Because then you understand. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this. Eat in remembrance of me. And you have the very real experience of taking food, putting it in your mouth, chewing it, and eating it and swallowing it. And what is the Lord saying to you when you're doing that? You think, this is very physical. This is not sort of all mysterious and sort of spiritual. This is very physical. I'm munching on food. What is the Lord saying to you? He's saying to you, as real as this food is in your mouth, I am so real. Just as food is your life, so I am your life. In this world where you have so much trouble, and when you can't see me, remember me. I am your life. And so he said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't look at the bread, eat it. And in eating it, remember who he is, how real he is, what it means that as sure as that food is in your mouth and you're eating it, so surely he is with you and he is your life. It's a wonderful thing. This is something that's perfect and been given to us from the hands of the Lord Jesus. It is exactly what we need. You know, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And what is his calling to us? What does he want you to do? To overcome the same. He wants you to have victory over the world. He wants you to be able to walk with him in life. Who doesn't want that? Hand up everybody who feels they're a little bit weak. Or a lot weak. Who would like to be stronger? Who would like to be able to walk with the Lord and nobody could turn you to the left hand or to the right? You never failed. Every situation that comes, you're right there. Who wouldn't want that? Jesus wants that for us. And he's shown us how we can have that. And what's the answer? Remember me. When you're in trouble, remember me. What do we remember? That he gave himself for us to be our life. Hallelujah. Amen. But he didn't stop there. So they all ate the bread and were scratching their head a little bit because they didn't have the understanding that we have today. But then we read Luke, the third column. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper. And we read Paul, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper. And he gave thanks again for the cup. This wasn't the first time they'd drunk this wine. And this wine was their drink. It wasn't very strong wine, but it was wine. And this was their drink. That's what they were having with their dinner. Lamb, bread, wine, I don't know what else. But this was also not a symbolic drink, but it was actually the drink that they were having. So the Lord took the cup and read Matthew. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. And then in Mark, it says, and they all drank from it. So the point wasn't simply drinking, was it? The point was drinking from the same cup. Now, we don't like that, but that's what he did. And again, do this in remembrance of me. So what is the cup? What is this wine? What is it speaking about? Why did he ask them all to drink from this one cup? Well, we can read it. Matthew? Okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Corinthians. Okay? Yeah. What is the cup?
Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins."
And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many."
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, this covenant is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.
Yeah, so there we have. We have it in full. What is this cup? This cup is the new covenant made by the blood of Christ. This cup is the new covenant made by the blood of Christ. So when we look at the wine, of course we think of blood. But it's not simply blood shed, but blood shed to make a covenant. When the Old Testament, God made a covenant with Israel. A covenant is like a contract or a promise. And the promise was made certain by the shedding of blood. So when the Lord Jesus said this to the disciples, he said, there is a new covenant being made, a new promise being made that hasn't been made before. And this promise is being made because, on the grounds of my death, my blood will make this promise absolutely rock solid, certain and sure. So what is this new covenant? You imagine if we were sitting, just imagine, you can look at us here in the front row. Imagine if I had one cup and I said, this cup represents a promise that God has made. I give it to Ichu and Ichu drinks from. Then I give it to Vicky. Vicky drinks, and we pass it around, and each one of us drinks from the same cup. What would you see? What would you understand? What do you think? Don't you think there's a picture that's really clear there? What if you didn't want to have anything to do with God's promise? Would you drink from the cup? No, I don't want that. But if you said, yes, I want to be part of that, then you drinking from the cup is saying, I'm part of this. I'm part of this. You see? So when we look and see what's happening, we see each one saying, I'm part of this. I'm part of this. I'm part of this. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. What has he done? He has made a covenant. He has made a promise to his children. And this promise is made rock solid certain because of his death, because of his blood shed. And the promise is, I will never hold your sins against you. I will come and live in you. You will see me face to face. I will never leave you or forsake you. You are mine. I have redeemed you. No man shall pluck you out of my Father's hand. I will raise you up at the last day. These are the promises of God established in the blood of the Lord Jesus.
This is the new covenant that he's made with us. So when we share the cup together, we are saying, I'm part of this. Now we look at an older brother like Ichu and we say, well, you know, Ichu has many years with the Lord. He is a good brother. He is faithful. He, you know, the Lord really loves him. But me, you know, I am only young. I am not good. I am not strong. I wish I was like Ichu, but I'm not like Ichu. If only I was, you know. No. But then when we come together and remember the Lord and we share this cup, we see he drank from the cup and I drink from the cup. Same covenant, same grace, same love, same promises, same faithfulness. You know, what is your Christian life built on? What's the foundation? For some of us, you know, we keep trying hard, and the harder we try, if we try hard, then we feel that the Lord will be very happy with us. And if we don't try very hard, then we feel the Lord's not happy with us. Everything depends upon how faithful we are. And if we're not faithful, then we feel awfully bad and a mile away from God. And if we are a little bit faithful, we feel fantastic and we feel God is near us. This is wrong. The new covenant doesn't speak about our faithfulness. It speaks about his. And this, when we partake of this cup, we are saying, everything depends upon your faithfulness. And he is faithful. It's a good foundation to build upon. So, you know, if we... You can see... finished now, but you can see how important it is, how significant it is when we share this together. I really like I'll just tell you quickly about a time that I broke bread with some believers. This was in Brazil. Everybody does it differently, and if to focus too much on how you break bread can be not good. You might be missing the point if you're only focusing on the method. You might get the method right, but your heart is not there, you know. But by the same token, we can't ignore what the Lord Jesus gave us and do something different, because it's from him. Now, what these brothers and sisters in Brazil did, they had a meeting. It was on a Sunday night, and they sang songs and did things, and then they're going to break bread. And they said, anybody who wants to break bread, come out the front. Oh, okay. So I went out the front and others went out the front. And there we all were, sort of just standing around out the front. And people took the bread and just passed it to each other. And I looked around and all these brothers and sisters were going up to each other and sharing something with each other and hugging each other. And one young brother came up to me and apologized because he thought he might have said something to offend me. And then we broke bread. It was just lovely. The people were very much together and very much, it wasn't kind of, you know, breaking bread like this and I can't see you and I don't know who you are next to me even anyway. But it was, you know, let's break bread together. Let's remember our Lord together. It was like that. It was really nice. Anyway, that was just one experience, and that was just what one group did. We don't have to follow anybody. But the idea of just being together and of sharing this together. This the bread and the wine wasn't given to the world, as I said. It was given to his redeemed children. And it was given to his redeemed children to help them to live in this world and to overcome. If people are not interested in doing that, then he has nothing to say to them. But if people want him and want to overcome all the things of this world, then he has this gift which he's given us. He's not here, but he said, this will encourage you. Remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. So, Father, we thank you and bless you for your beloved dear Son who came among us and who has left something behind to encourage us. He knew the difficulties we would face, but he said, do this in remembrance of me. And all that you have provided for us and all that you are for us now is so full, it's so wonderful. So, Lord, we pray that we would learn to know this fellowship with you and together. And as we break bread in days to come, we would increasingly understand what you've given and be strengthened by you and build up one another and be blessed together in the joy of our Lord. So we thank you and bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Gathering before him in his name. And yeah, let us praise God and in our hearts, and also pray for the next meeting. And we will end the meeting now. Right? The time flies, right? And we will have a new time together in the second hall. Some sister they prepare some simple meal so that we can have simple meal together to share, because our fellowship is not confined only in this place and in this time. And but we do need to pray for our next meeting, because each meeting we need to rely on our Lord, because he's the one to supply lives so that we can eat him. We can be fed by him. It's so amazing. The Lamb of God is the Lamb of God sacrificed for us and died for us. And also, is the Lamb we can be fed by this Lamb, by this life, by our dear Lord. So, the Lamb we can enjoy. Yeah. And we can not only enjoy by ourselves, we can enjoy together. So pray for next meeting, our gathering time. We are not sure what we're going to do, but the Lord will lead us. And we will have breaking of bread next time. We pray that we can, what we learn today, we can actually experience and learn do this in remembrance of our Lord. How about we ask Uncle Joshua to pray for the meal time. To pray for the meal time.
Sorry, don't call me uncle. I always very young. Even the little kid called me Brother Joshua. Okay. And I also very happy to be with you people together, and although my English very poor, but I hope you can understand. If you don't understand, you just raise your hand and say, make it clear. I am very happy to do it clear. And I also want a little word to encourage. This meeting, of course, is focused for the Lord and for him, but also it belongs to each one of you. I hope that next time when we are gathering together, we are not prepared to just sit in there. We prepare to give our life, our love in the Lord, to sharing for each other. So we hope this meeting can be truly a freedom and a lively sharing together. Okay? Promise me. Okay, we have a little prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You have a new star among us. Lord, make us ready to answer your calling. Lord, may you do a new thing in our heart, and may you do a new thing in your church. Bring us to follow you in the right way, in the life, and in the love. and help us not just join in to receive. Help us to also give what we can to you. Give what we have received from you to share into other people. And we ask our dear Lord to bless in the lunch. When we are together to enjoy the lunch, also give us the fellowship to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.